is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
See Live Off the Record with Zhivago Lang is brought to you by Central Bank, City of Hope, Janae's Uniform Center, Prince Masters, RF Bank and Trust, Raw Star Assurance, Southwest Plaza, Star General, Insurance Made Simple, and SunOil.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivad, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, on this beautiful but very hot Monday afternoon. Producer, I have some feedback, so if you can help me with that, please. If you want to give us a call today on the show, the numbers to do so are 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316, 325-4316. You can text us on 422-4796. That's 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. We are, of course, live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969, or you can catch us on BTC Flow channel 612. That's BTC Flow channel 612. So I try to use my personal story sometimes as a bit of instruction, guidance, advice, example. Yesterday afternoon, I ended up in the Rand Memorial Hospital. Why? So I needed to exercise, and I knew I did. And I decided that I was going to ride my bike sometime around 11 or 12 or so while picking up something that I needed, which is what I typically do. I find that if I give myself something to do when I exercise, I can be more motivated to do so. So I did about a 2.5 mile bike ride, 2.5 miles one way, 2.5 coming back from my home to the International Bazaar. And, you know, made the ride, and I drudged to it, and then I got home. And I felt okay, and then decided I was going to go to the store to pick up something. On my way to the store, I'm on the road. Okay, and at the moment, my car's AC needs gassing. And I had determined I was going to do this this week, to go get it gassed up, because before it was bearable. And I'm driving, and all of a sudden I just get dizzy. I know I blacked out for like just a second or so. The car, fortunately, let's see, maybe God, the car decelerated. Maybe my foot came off or what have you. And I knew something wasn't right. I felt like I was going to lose consciousness. Anyway, I managed to maintain my consciousness and drive into the parking lot of the store I was going to. As I'm trying to get out the car, I couldn't. I was disoriented. I couldn't grab the handle. I couldn't see the keys. To get the keys, eventually I did, and I got my composure. And I asked, I got out of the car and I saw a lady getting into her car, and I asked her if she could do me a favor. And she said, what is that? I said, I need to get to the hospital. And she said, sure. And so I locked up my car and let her take me to the hospital. So I spent about 2.5 hours in the hospital waiting to see someone. Of course, they took my vitals in the meantime and so forth, and actually even gave me an EKG, and everything was fine. Eventually, when I saw a doctor, by that time, I'm good. I didn't feel queasy or dizzy or anything. And he asked me what happened. I told him. He said, you know, we just want to be sure. So they did my blood works, et cetera, nothing. And it was basically, our conclusion was the heat. Now, just after I got out the hospital, I got somebody had sent the warning, not to me, because they didn't know how it had happened, the warning that was sent out by the Met Department and others about the heat and how to be careful because of the heat index and because there's the possibility of dizziness and blah, 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 blah. And sure enough, it happened to me, and I met other people who it happened to. In fact, the lady who was driving me had someone in her vehicle, and I thank her. She was very gracious, very kind. Thank God she had a solidly working air condition. And the person who was with her also had experienced the same thing and ended up in the hospital some days before. And then I'm in I was somewhere today, and a lady I was talking to, she had just had the same experience. Listen to me, folks. I be telling you, this ain't no joke. No, I don't know if it was dehydration. I don't think it was dehydration. I don't know what the heat does to you, but I don't think it was dehydration. I drink a lot of water, eat a lot of watermelon and stuff. And my blood works was good. But I just think that heat, whatever it does, maybe some medical doctors out there who could tell us, but it ain't nothing to joke with. And it was frightening, I could tell you, for a little while. I mean, just disorientation. And I know some of you are a little superstitious, right? Do you know, a couple of days before that, I dreamt that I thought I was having what was a stroke. And when I was walking in the house from my bike ride, I said, boy, you know, it's hard. What if you had a stroke? man, somebody said, boy, and you could laugh. I said, I have to laugh because I'm grateful. I'm grateful it wasn't anything worse. When they took my blood pressure, was 111 over 77. Which is great. But we have to be careful. Even now when I go outside, you know, which I try to avoid now. When I go outside, it is uncomfortable. Okay, it's uncomfortable. Since then, it's uncomfortable. And I know I have to be very careful. Because my body is telling me, bro, don't play with that. You guys, don't play with that. I'm telling you. Avoid going outside if you could. If you have to, make sure you hydrated. I carry a cup of water and some ice, and I use both. Anyway, thank God. Thank God, as I said, it wasn't worse. And I share it with you so you could be careful yourself, okay? You know, I think that we who are in our like 60 or less, let me see something here. Let me see something. I got to make a point. I got to make sure. So I think those of us who are, we around 60 and them, unless we have an understanding, academic understanding that war is not good. We have that academic understanding, right? But we also, I think, have a sanitized view of war. By sanitized, I mean, thank God now, mind you, we have not ourselves been in the throes of war. So outside of Private Ryan, as an example, the movie, the graphic nature of what war represents was unknown to me prior to Private Ryan. I don't know if you guys watched Private Ryan starring, what's his name? Wonderful actor. But if you watch Private Ryan, they try to represent very graphically the horrors of war. And you saw people torn up, limbs blown off. I'm only telling you all their insides out. And, you know, it was graphic. And it brought home for people, I'm sure, who watched it, how terrible war could be. And still yet, I think, we have Matt Damon was in that movie, and so was, what's his face? Tom Hanks, yeah. And still, I think, we have a sanitized view of war. Because we've not had to be in the throes of it. And I'm grateful for that. So when nations decide to go to war, as Israel, well, as Hamas is decided to do against Israel, then Israel against Palestinians, and then now the Israel against Iran, former Persia, and then now the United States against Iran, we sometimes don't think, understand the very serious nature of that. Right? We don't get what that means, but that means for the peoples of those territories, whether they put their best efforts forward and from the military point of view, not to do so. That means people will lose limbs and life and lives in the process. That's reality of it. And they will lose homes, and they will lose stability, and they will lose peace of mind and heart. They will lose a lot of things. And sometimes you are not even directly in the war, and you get implicated and you get affected by it, because the United States of America bombs, it says, nuclear sites in Iran, and Iran, not being able to get at the United States of America directly, goes and bombs a U.S. base in Qatar. So the people of Qatar have not invoked a war against Iran, are now embroiled in that war. And this is just the beginning, because it could escalate into something greater. And I said to myself, okay, if you have to contend with something as serious as war, where babies could be blown to pieces, where children could be blown to pieces, where mothers and fathers and elderly people could be blown to pieces, where disabled people could be blown to pieces, where pregnant women could be blown to pieces, where people's homes and shelter and could be blown to pieces, where their food resources could be blown to pieces. If you had to have people in the room discussing whether to do this and whether to do this more and what to do when you do it and others react in a certain kind of way. What kind of people do you want in that room? Huh? What kind of human beings do you want thinking through the issues of whether to drop bombs, to target this and target that? What kind of people do you want doing that kind of thing? Do you want hotheads? Do you want ignoramuses? Do you want egotistical maniacs? Do you want narcissists? Do you want secure folk? Do you want emotionally unintelligent folks? Do you want psychopaths? Do you want sociopaths? Or do you want intelligent, humanitarian, compassionate, caring, decisive, effective leadership at work in the place? What do you want? And I ask myself, given what I know of the people that are involved, what do I think we have? I ain't prepared to say so today. I ain't telling a lie. I'm not prepared to say so. I'm just saying, when I thought about it, I was not confident. I wasn't. Mm-mm, child. Not at the deepest and highest levels was I comforted by what I think we have dealing with these matters. And this isn't just on any one side of life. Okay? We have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hey, good afternoon, Chabaka. How you doing?
Right here, man. How you doing, Anton?
Right here. Listening.
You called me earlier because I have another some issue to discuss. I thought you'd be calling me later.
No, I definitely was going in, and I do want the option to be able to call you back because I know you can get into
support. Yeah, man. Yeah, man. Please.
I know you're going to get into support because I know you've been listening to some conversations today.
No, I didn't hear any conversations today. You know, I have some thoughts based on some things I observed the other day, but no, I didn't listen. I didn't listen to much. I had some things to do.
Okay, all right. But I wanted to hop in on what I thought was a very important conversation that also wraps around the entire world, right? This very conversation that you're having, it wraps around the entire world. In that it includes it moves from the conversation on the tariff war, right? And how that impacted the very nation that started the tariff war and how that impacted its people, its citizens, to how it's impacting nations outside, right, around the world, inclusive of ours. So the results that is being garnered for the nation who started it, right? To the negative effects and impacts on nations like ours and others around the world. To coming full circle, this part of the conversation, which incorporates ultimately possible wars that could be started, right?
Wars have started.
Yes, I don't disagree because there's one in Ukraine and Russia, right? But that hasn't elevated. For as much as they've been fighting, it hasn't elevated to the point where this particular one that's ongoing has elevated. Right? Yeah. And if it did, beyond any shadow of doubt, the victor would automatically be the nation who is most powerful with their army pull, right? And with their nuclear fleet, right? And that certainly is Russia. And so it hasn't elevated. But I only wanted to come in early on this part of your conversation to make the point that this is the full circle of where the real impact of any decision that the country who you are tied to, right? Like Siamese twins. This is the ultimate impact of where you could find yourself, and you could be in the deep part of the ocean, and if your allies aren't aligning, and you find yourself in the deep part of the ocean as a small island developing state, what do you do? Who do you turn to? Where do you run? Because this is the ultimate of these kinds of circumstances with foreign policy actually end. When we look at the action, and then we look at, in particular, the reaction from a nation that naturally would expect that at some point they could be drawn in, having a base.
But you know, many times we rap, people, no, you didn't do this, but I'm just saying we reference America's military might and hegemony, as we like to say, right?
Right.
But I happen to believe that that hegemony matters more for countries like ours than it does for countries like Pakistan, India, Russia, and them, UK, and them. Why?
Because right. They gave me on that. Why? Why is
no, that? Yeah, I'm gonna tell you why. Because ultimately, if America's military might is exercised in its extreme, right, then everybody else would exercise theirs in their extreme, and the end game is zero sum. All of us.
I absolutely agree.
So really, the flexing of America's might is more so to me, like maybe even Russian might, more so in China, in the clandestine nature of what they could do to destabilize and offset things, than in that ultimate war where nuclear weapons are used. When nuclear weapons are used, man, I gang will sit down in the corner with my family and pray, tell the Lord Jesus Christ, come again. Because what else is left? There is, I think we sanitize nuclear weaponry. There's no prettiness in that for nobody.
Absolutely not.
Not for America,
absolutely
not for
none.
Russia, not for India, for China, for nobody.
Right.
We start using that stuff on everybody, man, stop thinking about your life in terms of existence.
Yes.
Because even the aftermath of that is not a thing thinkable.
Absolutely, as we see in this current day, with what's going on in Ukraine and with Russia, and also with Israel, you know.
Which is why they are going the route of conventional warfare for the most part, because that's as close to insanity as you're willing to get, because you know insanity means everybody here bust up.
Going across the edge, and everybody will suffer.
And now we get to suffer in the conventional nature of these decisions by virtue of, in the direct way, the people whose lives are going to be affected, because they're going to lose their lives, they're going to lose family members, they're going to lose limbs, they're going to lose minds, they're going to lose hearts, they're going to lose stability, they're going to lose peace, they're going to lose shelter and all this kind of stuff. And then those of us who, when people start getting scared enough, they decide, listen, man, I ain't know but that traveling business right up and now, because you ain't know who start plotting against who, coming by this way and the next way, and you on airplane, you on cruise ships and all this kind of stuff. People, you don't know now. And now all of a sudden, the whole world is starting to contract because you're thinking,
The whole apricot is uprooted.
So my point is, you know, like that, what kind of hearts and minds do you want to be at work, man, at the table, thinking through these areas, these things?
You certainly want people who foresees the end and understands that there is no win for anyone in the end and will try to avoid it at all costs. Certainly. That's what I would like.
You want wisdom in the room. You want knowledge, you want understanding in the room. You also want undergirding wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. You want love, which is a recognition that human beings matter.
Yes.
And that what you do, you should do in erring on the side of life, even though sometimes we know that life might be at risk when we have to do things in defense of, and we have to do things in the pursuit of justice.
Yes, you always try to put that humanitarian approach first and foremost at the front and center. I agree with you
I don't like the idea that people think they're playing some kind of flipping games with human beings, man. I don't like the notion of that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
This is not a game. This is not your Monopoly board.
Right.
To be
right.
playing with the pieces and parts. Right. And I mean all the players, because whether you're in the Middle East or you in the United States or you in Europe somewhere or in Asia somewhere, sometimes I think all of them have this notion and this in their heads that they're saying nothing but a Monopoly board that they're playing the games
but,
with.
But you know, Shivago, for those first world nations, for those nations that are the leaders amongst us, their end game is different from our end game, because ultimately they have to maintain their position, they have to maintain their land, they have to maintain their access, and they have to maintain their might. And what that's for in reality is something totally different than what other nations who are smaller in makeup, smaller in might, whether it be economic or military and every otherwise, it's completely different from what nations like ours are thinking. And so, Shivago,
we all, I think, Anton, want the same things. We just can't get the same things because we don't all have the same stuff to pursue the same things.
Because we don't all have the same ability. We are not. We may be equal in the sight of God.
What is so insane and insidious, Anton, is this.
Uh-huh.
What is so insane and insidious is that in the global community,
right,
you have the might you have because you're trying to protect yourself so that you can have the life and living you have.
Yeah.
But the truth of the matter is the might you have is a might you have that gets to express itself in its fullest when you start to rob people of their life and living, and people who can rob you of your life and your living because they got some of the same things you got.
That is true. That is true.
So in the end, might really matters more in its threat than in its use in a world where other people have destructive weapons that could end all of us.
I agree. I agree with you entirely, Shivago. I agree with you entirely. And so ultimately, I pray, Shivago, I'll end with this right here. Ultimately, I pray that at the end of the day, that there is less use, that there is less use of nuclear weapons. I pray that...
This call is no longer being recorded.
Shivago?
Yeah, I'm listening, man.
I pray that cooler heads prevail. I pray that there is less loss of life. And I pray that ultimately the powers to be, all of the powers to be, whether that be the United States, whether that be Russia, whether that be China, whether that be Europe, any of the allies of the nations of power of the world, seeks to come to the table and try and negotiate whatever they need to put an end to the war and to ensure that human life is preserved. Thank you for the opportunity, and God bless you, brother.
Thank you, bro. We appreciate you. Ladies and gentlemen, listening to Z Live, I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We got to take a break. We'll be back after this break.
Everybody, come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Looking for insurance that fits your lifestyle and your budget? At Star General Insurance, we've got you covered. Whether it's motor insurance with flexible options for third-party liability and comprehensive coverage, or commercial insurance products that protect your business, we have choices you can afford. Renting, our home insurance products have just what you need. And for the adventurers out there, we offer marine insurance too. Visit our website or social media pages for contact information and quotes. Star General, insurance made simple.
For fast
fast, reliable, and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Living paycheck to paycheck? At Fidelity, we can help you take control of your money, build savings, and create a financial future you're proud of. And we'll do it free of charge. Transform your financial future with our coaching sessions today. Make that move. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity. We're good for you.
Happy Independence, Bahamas! Let's celebrate 50 plus together with a unique Janae's Uniform Center Independence print, dry fit polo or t-shirts, ribbons and pull bows in black, gold, and aquamarine. Janae's special family package includes buy two adults and three children Independence polos or t-shirts and get 15% off for a special Independence dress of week or day with a different design. For more than 30 pieces of Janae's Independence polos or t-shirts, get up to 25% discount. Janae's Uniform Center Chesapeake Road Independence Selections. Choose your favorite and celebrate 50 plus. Restrictions apply.
Southwest Plaza has so many stores, I've been trying to find a sensible way to list them all. There's CBS Bahamas, the Ashai Institute, BENC Snack World, Bamboo Shack Bahamas, there, the Athlete's Foot, NBTC, Games and More, John Bullfine Threads, Alive Bahari, Dairy Queen, 700 Wines and Spirits, Sandy's Clarkson Island Luck, Starbucks and Lowe's Pharmacy, plus Marco's Pizza and Lorraine. Southwest Plaza, what a wide array of stores. Southwest Plaza, stop by today and explore.
Winning on the court, just like a investing is about consistency and having the right partner. With RF's Advantage Plus brokerage account, you get exclusive access to high return securities, some yielding up to 7%, plus expert investment guidance. No need to chase every opportunity. We deliver priority trading, exclusive investments, and the lowest commissions, so you can focus on what matters most. Sign up for an RF Advantage Plus brokerage account today at rfgroup.com. RF Bank and Trust. Money at work.
Get ready to catch the thrill and win with Shell. Fuel up with $20 or more and unlock your shot at unforgettable prizes.
We're talking regatta trips to Upper Island,
free fuel, grocery vouchers, water park passes, and more. Just snap your receipt and WhatsApp it to us at 242-422-0271. The vibes are high, the prizes are hot, and the summer is yours to win with Shell. Only at participating Shell stations in Nassau. Now through August 26th. Second. Terms and conditions apply.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316. You can call us from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. This text says, good day, Mr. Lang. I'm happy to hear that you are feeling okay now, but I've had a similar experience a week ago. I'm 63 years old in good health. I got up the other morning at 3 a.m. and felt normal for the first 10 minutes. Shortly after, a dizzy feeling came upon me. My air condition and ceiling fan was on. It was terrible. I had to turn off the ceiling fan in every room. I went in for comfort. Everything seems to have been spinning. I was going to the hospital, but after phoning my daughter, she advised me to sit for a while and drink a cup of tea with a light snack, dry away at 6 a.m. before going to the hospital. Thank God. I felt better and didn't have to go, but this heat is very harmful because I heard from at least three others since with similar experiences. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And your boy ain't as young as he used to be no more, you know. I'm 57 years old now, so. Oh, man, I just been outside for this, a brief minute just now, you know. Man, it ain't good. Oh, Father, it ain't good. Okay. His text says, I said the same. I really wonder if the U.S. mothers and fathers whose 18 and 20-year-olds sons will be shipped off to war taking... Talking about how successful the bombing was, I concluded long ago that nobody really wins in war. The only time I support war is under an existential threat. The thing about it is this says Iran just sent missiles at U.S. military bases in Qatar. Base. I hope this ends quickly because it will not be good for anybody. The thing about it is now is you don't know even who to believe. Oh, the bombing was successful. We got rid of this. Next minute later, no confirmation is that didn't. Well, who do you believe? You don't even know. You know, deception is on as bad as war. You don't even know what to believe. You don't know who to believe anymore. I mean, it's terrible. Terrible. And some people think this is some kind of fun, some kind of, you know, us against them nonsense talk. People need to be truthful in public life. In public life, you have to be truthful, man. The stakes are too high when you lie because people are making decisions, determinations based on your lie or your truth. People in public life have an especial responsibility to be truthful, to try to get people correct information. All this spin and nonsense, manipulation of data and thing, it is unhelpful. Of course, that my sense ain't gonna stop nothing, but I'm saying, you be careful how you listen. You do your part in trying to understand what's going on in the world, yeah? Use more sources than one. So someone with the gifts of spirit, wisdom, knowledge, understanding, counsel, fortitude, piety, and fear of the Lord and love. Can't say that these are top of mind in those in the room. Egos prevail. Child, honestly, I ain't know what prevailing. I'm concerned. I really am. Really concerned. People don't understand, man. See, let me tell you something, right? Whether you believe it or not, leaders in making decisions have a different vantage point than the average person, mostly because they have better information. Don't mean they will use it, because some leaders say so they're so silly they would rather use the delusions of their mind than the information that comes from people who are in the field doing the next, what is going on. So but they do have that advantage if they want to use it, a better information, right? They have the advantage also of this. Making decisions about war, in many instances, not every, many of them get to make the decisions about war from the comfort of their protected purchase. Surrounded by all kind of guards. Surrounded by all kind of military that are their beck and call in the case they are under threat. So when they undermine your security, it don't make no difference to them. They don't know that. Then they undermine your feeding. That don't make no difference to them because they ain't going hungry. They are not. When they then undermine your capacity to earn and the cash you had, don't bother them because their cash store up where it store up. And they straight. So we there bragging on them. We there rooting for them. And they don't feel what we feel. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Good afternoon, Mr. Langan. Good afternoon, Bahamas.
Hey, so,
Mr. Langan, as I listen to you, you know, I am concerned for any number of reasons as to what's going on here in the Middle East, you know. It basically, what has me concerned, too, is, you know, stepping apart from the ego that is manifesting itself with these various leaders, because I'm almost convinced that their citizenry, many of them doesn't support basically what they're doing. But these leaders,
I agree.
Most of these leaders, they act independently on their own.
Mm-hmm.
and put their citizen in this type of chaos that you see in the Middle East. That's what I believe.
I agree with you. I agree with you.
Here we have now, when I look at, when I bring this thing home to the Bahamas, you know, and I don't know why our brightest, the best of the best, don't vie for public office. You know, people look at this thing as
You have public office.
I haven't experienced it, but I've examined it.
Yeah, that's my point. So you then wonder why the many people decide they're not going to go in there,
Mr. Lang. I mean, look. Okay, when you look at basically our candidates, right? Mm. I like to compare and do comparative analysis. When I look at 1967. When I look at the candidates of 1993, I mean, I could have looked just from hindsight and I could see cabinet minister material on, in both instances, right?
Mm-hmm.
Far forward today, when you look at persons who are vying for this office, and they're going to be faced with these same global challenges in terms of how they communicate. And how they and how and their input, you know, but I don't see. It's hard for me to look at ministerial qualities in some of these people who, unfortunately, some of whom would be elected.
And yeah, but some of the people, most of the candidates for the Progressive Liberal Party, as an example, will run again for office, and many of them are already cabinet ministers, so.
Yeah.
You have to be talking about opposition siding.
But you see basically what is happening now. You see it in terms of crime and you're looking at some immigration. I mean, I could go on and on and on and on. You know, but my thing is this. You're a person who always doing statistics. I listen to you. You're an economist. And if someone were to, when it comes to comparative analysis, are you comparing different statistics with other countries, et cetera? Wouldn't, if one were to use the phrase per capita, and that's how you do it?
Yeah, when it depends on when you're trying to account for population size. That's the only difference is you use per capita if you're trying to avoid the misrepresentation you can get from having a bigger population. So for instance, America has a population of 200 plus million people, Bahamas 400,000 or thereabouts. You can't then talk about America's economic size and wealth compared to the Bahamas' size and wealth. So what you do is you look at, okay, can we look at the per capita income of the country and see if that gives us a little better comparison as to the wealth status of both?
Exactly my point. I mean, when you look at, let's say, for example, you're talking crime. You look at Jamaica, for example. Mm-hmm. You say Jamaica had, let's say, 1,000 murders in a particular year. But then when you look at their population is just over 3 million people.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at the Bahamas, if you want to see exactly how well or how poor we are doing, according to the United Nations, they base five murders per 100,000 to bring it home so you can get a better analysis.
Yeah.
That's what you do it,
and
right?
We are up there. There's no question about it.
You know, I called the show and a talk show host condemned me saying that I am word per capita, the phrase per capita, I'm being colonial. But I thought that...
That's nonsense, Todd. That's standard. What you were doing in using the per 100,000 homicide rate is a standard use of statistics in the world today. It has nothing to do with the colonialism or anything. That's just an academically sound way of looking at it to get a sense of what a population is doing versus
thank
another population
much,
in terms of
thank
violence.
Really,
there's no question about that.
Thank you very much. You know, because I knew I knew basically I was making sense. But when you have a mic in your hand and you have the last seat, you can run on and you can say basically what it is. But I'm not, if someone says something rather than, I mean, this is how I operate. This is how I function. If someone says something that they don't understand, rather than picking up the phone and calling into a show to make my contribution, I would normally would take note of what that person say, you know, and go and do my own research to see exactly where we are before I come out and start speaking, you know. But if I were to say that Nassau, I'm not the Bahamas, New Providence, that is. If I were to say
we have to go to break. I have to tell you, bro, so you got to wrap it up.
Okay, no problem. Let's wrap it up. I'll leave it there. No problem. Thanks.
Thank you, man. Appreciate you calling. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to take a break for news, and when we come back, we'll continue our conversation. We'll be back after the news break.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. Let me remind you folks of something. Before we go on, just want to remind you that, hold on, Bahamas, our Magic Carpet Ride rug sale is June 26th to 28th. Buy one rug, get the second 50% off, and this is happening at Bahamas Liquidation on Mackey Street. Okay, so you don't want to miss this. So again, you got to be aware of our Magic Carpet Ride rug sale. Our Magic Carpet Ride rug sale, which is June 26th to June 28th. You buy one rug, you get a second one 50% off. And this is at Bahamas Liquidation there on Mackey Street. So this is... So if you're trying to put that new rug in place, a couple of rugs, now's the time to do so at Bahamas Liquidation. If you want to give us a call on the show, the numbers to do so are 323-6232 or 325-4316, 325-4316. Or you can call us from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796. This text says, your concern is well founded. Yep, independently recall snap elections, now snap Iranian attack. The snap election of do the Iranian attack again. Says, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. It's good to know you're feeling better. Have a blessed day. Thank you. Appreciate that. Say, same ego driven maniac, suck my teeth. Ah, yeah, you so Ingram. So Spinlin was an egomaniac because they all call elections when they want. They don't give you no warning. Christie did the same thing. Minnis did the same thing. Ingram did the same thing. That's the prerogative they have as prime ministers. I wouldn't call them egomaniacs for that. I wouldn't, actually. You know, Michael Pintard raised an issue in the House of Assembly But more than anything else, I'm curious to hear the response to. I'm not suggesting anything about life. I'm just, when I hear the explanation. So Michael Pintard raised an issue in the House Assembly about a company that got a loan from the Ministry of Finance called the Carmichael Village Project Development Company Limited. And he pointed out that this company was formed in 2022. Okay? So it's a loan of $10 million this company got. So first of all, I've been in the Ministry of Finance for 5 years, and I've been in the government of the Bahamas for 10 years. I cannot, the government giving a loan to a company? Really? A loan? A government of the Bahamas? Not through the Bahamas Development Bank, not through the Venture Capital Fund, or some facility or established for that purpose, but the Ministry of Finance advanced a $10 million loan? I mean, this is what is being said. I don't know. And this company is called the Village Road Project Development Company Limited. It was formed in 2022. And according to Mr. Pintard, this company has no listed directors, no business license, no value-added tax registration. He called it a ghost loan. Now, again, folks, I don't know anything about this other than what I have, you know, heard. But what I found more curious than anything, the Prime Minister of the Bahamas and the Minister of Finance of the Bahamas, the Honorable Brave Davis, will speak to this. I cannot, frankly, I can't imagine why it hasn't been spoken to yet. Why it couldn't have been spoken to in the instance it was mentioned, because I could, in Ingram's voice, I could hear, man, that's nonsense. Nonsense. Absolute nonsense. 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 But the government of Bahamas, be any loan, anybody, that nonsense. That's what I would have heard. Right on the spot. Huh? Come on, man. Really? Antoine, do you have any information on this? If you could call us and let me know, because you, I know you have access and you get information from time to time. But I was really curious that this wasn't instantaneously answered. Instantaneously. Oh, that's a special purpose vehicle created for the purpose of this, that, the next thing, to undertake a government project, blah, 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 blah. And what it was an advance to the special purpose vehicle and the shareholders of the company are the government of the Bahamas. Instantly. One day go by, 3 days go by, a weekend go by, and there's no statement on this. When that happens in government, in my experience, that means you are working on an explanation, which means it ain't so clear. It's not so simple. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Yeah, good afternoon, Mr. Lang, and I hope you feel much better.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
I just want to say the LGBTQ and Women's of War, I think, is in Matthew somewhere. And the word of God just has to be fulfilled. But let's continue to pray. That's all I can say. And another question, I just going to hang up and listen to you. If the government have so much money left over, why are the teachers and the that nurses cannot get paid. I just heard it on the radio from Elkitas. They have so much money left over after they pay. These poor teachers and nurses, they really need their money. I'll hang up and listen to what you say, okay? Thank you very much. Right.
Thank you, ma'am.
Day.
I appreciate your calling. Well, the reality is, if the cash is there and the government owes you, go get your money. That's reality. It's simple as that. Says SNAP acted independently only minutes I recall. Okay, this is Dom Z. I recall Mooring Spike, etc. Minutes didn't call a SNAP election. All elections have to be called in accordance with the Constitution of the Bahamas so that you have to give a certain period of time before the voters go to the polls. So that's not a snap election. Is like when you just out the blue decide, boom, we going to election. He called it early election. That's possible. You know, so all the prime ministers of the Bahamas call elections in accordance with the Constitution, meaning they can call it when they want. And that's the Constitution. So if we don't like snap elections, we should tell the people to get our Constitution amended so that we have fixed dates for our election. And then nobody could call a snap, in quote, a snap election. Say they answer nothing. Well, no, they answer some things. I've heard the government answer some things. So I'm not saying the government doesn't answer some things, but there are some things which they answer either not at all, or they answer late, or they answer in a way that doesn't bring clarity, and so forth and so forth. But I can't say they don't answer. But this, I would have thought, would have been answered right away. I would have thought so. Say, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. Happy to know that you are doing well. I had experience a few years ago. After a few tests over a period, I was told a case of syncop. Oh, and I said a minute or two, syncop. Never heard about that, syncope. Okay, syncope. Could have been me too. I don't know what syncope is, but So I will keep my ears open and eyes open to hear this explanation. It's because it's curious. Curious because in the first instance, listen, if you're running a deficit and you're the government of the Bahamas, you're running a deficit. And if you have contractors who cannot be paid, if you have teachers who cannot be paid, if you have nurses and doctors who cannot be paid, and other things that you can't pay, and you could lend a company money, a private company, you could lend. Why would I lend a private company money? Why would I do that? All the PPPs that get established are PPPs in which the private entity brings skills and resources that the government cannot at the immediate access, so that things can get done, and then the government pays them over time. Why would the government doing PPPs lend anybody money? Why? You think it's that good? I'm not saying they did, man. The question was raised, and I was very curious that it wasn't answered on the spot. During the question and answer period, I watched government answers, questions were put to the government, pop right up. Couple times, prime minister, pop right up. A matter like this is suggestive of corruption. That's the suggestion. Of corruption and no pop-up. I understand the prime minister said he'll answer in due course. In due course? Man, is there any semblance of this that's true? You can't get up and say that's not true. You need to go research that? Oh my gosh. No. No, that's strange to me. Says syncope is a medical term that refers to a sudden temporary loss of consciousness and muscle tone, commonly known as fainting. It occurs due to a temporary reduction in blood flow to the brain, leading to decreased oxygen nutrition. Yeah, okay. Okay. say, a business arrangement, maybe, my opinion, a business arrangement. What does that mean? Everything the government does is business. It's either private, but it's public business. That's why we refer to it as public business. So it's all a business. But so what does a business arrangement mean? Of course, it's a business arrangement. I lend you money. That only could be a business arrangement. The question is, why? And this is what is key, you know. It's not, I'm not suggesting anything wrong was done. I don't have enough information for that yet. I do have, it is curious what I'm being told, right? What is being alleged as the case. So that is curious, right? What I'm saying is there's no information. So why? No details yet. Yeah, that's the whole point I'm making, is that I was, oh, it's a business arrangement, so that's why there's no detail yet. you cannot be serious. Okay. All right, so it's a business arrangement, Chaz. So don't worry, you ain't gonna get no information yet. Wow. That's stunning. Absolutely stunning. Even you laughing, right? boy. This says, why? Laugh out loud. Because when Brave Davis speaks, he wants to say the company is now licensed and is tax compliant. My. This is wasted when the trust, pun intended, collapse. Okay. So you're getting, putting things in place. That's what you're saying? This text, I'll meet you on the beach. That beach sounds good. Said, I said the same. I really wonder if the U.S. Oh, no, sorry. It says, Trump, for instance, doesn't operate in a vacuum. His actions are backed by a network of supporters. To suggest otherwise is misleading. Trump is very smart, though. He wrote the art of the deal and knows how to navigate the situation. Jesus, Lord of mercy on my soul. Okay. Thank you, folks. Thank you. Thank you for your note. Appreciate it. Ooh, boy, listen. When you have drunk the Kool-Aid, you have drunk the Kool-Aid. Yes, sir, Bob. So who are the principals of this company? I don't know. That's what Mr. Pintar is saying. He said he was asking. He said it has no named directors and so forth and so forth. So I don't know. We have to wait for information. That's really the bottom line. I just thought it was curious. Say, with another air looming, war looming, Hakeem is talking nonsense. I honestly didn't catch it. What did Mr. Hakeem say? Are we being affected by the war? That's what he said, maybe. I don't know what's going to happen as a consequence of this war. We'll have to watch. But it does have the potential to be quite disruptive. It does have that potential. But I'm not going to pretend I know what the future holds. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll continue our discussions. We'll be back after this break.
Cancer Treatment Centers of America is now City of Hope, creating one of the leading cancer care and research networks from coast to coast, providing more of what you need. More locations means more specialists means more expertise. More research means more breakthroughs. More advancements means more treatment options. and more options means more hope. Learn more at cancercenter.com.
Beulah gal, can you believe this? We are now the patrol queens of the neighborhood.
We now large and in charge. So we need to check out what's going on in everybody yard. What about that gun that we know that Junior and his homeboys just ran out? Can we report that too?
Of course we can.
But we could be in deep trouble if they find out.
We need to report what we see, Beulah. When you call Crime Stoppers, they just answer your call in Miami.
So then we can report everything? Guns? Where they hiding the drugs? Who shoot who? Who part of which gang? Or who disturbing the peace with the loud music and the motorcycles?
Then our neighborhood will be the best in the Bahamas, and everybody gonna want to come live here. And then our house price will go up, gal.
So what are we waiting on? What's the number?
If you see something, say something. Let us all pitch in and stop the crime before it's your time. Call 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands, or text us through the Crack Crime Bahamas app. Stop the crime before it's your time.
Winning on the court, just like investing, is about consistency and having the right partner. With RF's advantage of access to high return securities, some yielding up to 7%, plus expert investment guidance. No need to chase every opportunity. We deliver priority trading, exclusive investments, and the lowest commissions, so you can focus on what matters most. Sign up for an RF Advantage Plus brokerage account today at rfgroup.com. RF Bank and Trust. Money at work.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon, very warm Monday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, please feel free to call us on 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316. 325-4316 from the Family Islands. You can call us on 242-300-5720. You can text us on 4224796, or you can WhatsApp me on 4393043. Text says Halkita said he is insisting that the $75 million surplus is still doable despite the mess the economy was in when his government took over. And so why is that even a conversation? Well, what did somebody expect him to say something different? They produced a budget that is forecasting a $75 million surplus. Why would he say anything different? Why would he not insist that that is what they are? Be honest, they are. It is possible to do that. It is possible for them to produce a surplus in the next fiscal year, meaning that the way revenue is measured and the way expenditure is handled at the end of the day, to have on paper a surplus, that is possible. That is quite possible. Ingram could have had multiple surpluses if he wanted, if he was willing and interested in simply maneuvering things in a way to do that. So it's possible. It's not important. And there'd be nothing wrong with doing it the way they could possibly do it. What is not going to happen by June 30th of next year is this. This is not going to happen. The government will not be current in all of its payments to vendors. And I don't mean current as in, oh, well, we just incurred this. No, I'm talking about people who have contractual obligations to the government that were supposed to be paid in accordance with the contractual obligations and had have those payments made. Instead of the government coming to them and saying, give a little piece here, a little piece there. That's that people who have lied and not paid for, and other kinds of things that are outstanding and need to be done, and other obligations, immediate obligations that need to be done in the society that needs to be done, like cleaning up the place and fixing the roads and stuff like that. And what's not going to happen is those things are not going to be done, and the government produces a surplus. That is what's going to happen. That is not going to happen June 30th, 2026. Not going to happen. Not going to happen. If you come to my house and you say, oh, Zhivago Boston, he have a surplus, and the house busts up and the light bill ain't paid and being paid in patches, and I owe this one, the old one, that they being paid in patches, and I'm bragging to you that I have a balanced budget, I'm talking nonsense. Right? I just balance my books, but the realities of my financial circumstances are a different matter, because balance and surplus connotes a certain something about your financial affairs. And I do not expect anything other than they're going to produce a surplus leading into the next election. None will say anything different, because there will not be another budget for the Commonwealth of the Bahamas before the next election. There will not be. We will go to election before July 1 of next year. So why would we be surprised by that statement by the minister? He's a consistent. Mr. Hakidis is consistent with his administration's financial policy, fiscal policy. Why would he be inconsistent with that? He's the Minister of Economic Affairs. In ways, he's the de facto Minister of Finance in terms of taking care of these matters on a day-to-day basis. Say, can I tell you when Jordan Prince William School was open? I cannot. So sorry. I do not know. I really don't know. So I really don't know what the point of being concerned about the ministers saying that they will, and it's possible. Of course it's possible. I mean, even in the real sense, it's possible, because who knows, you could have such a economic boom and such a fiscal bounty that, yeah, still even possible. Could be remotely possible, but possible. So he's not wrong to utter such a thing, to say such a thing at all. Because it is, in fact, possible. Right? So I have to tell you, sometimes when I am listening to our public discourse, I have to shake my head. I really do. So I'm watching the House of Assembly the other day, and the Prime Minister got up to dispute something that Michael Pintard said. And of course, these days now, Michael Pintard's book, Politrics, has become a weapon to be used against him. Michael Pintard, the last I checked, is when he wrote Politrics, was acting as an artist, as a writer, as a satirist. And he wrote a satirical book on politics, which is used in our school system and the English department as not an academic lesson about government and politics, but as a satirical reference, a homegrown satirical piece of literature. And I'm sorry, I'm with the greatest respect to all of you men and women whose intellect I respect. For you to come and try to use that as some weapon against Michael Pintard, really an insult to your own intelligence. It really is, in my view, because it would suggest to me that you are pretending or not aware of what satire is, really, that you will now ascribe that to Pintard's philosophical musings. It was just funny stuff about politics. And yes, most of the satire has some level of truth to it, some level of truth, but it's never intended to reflect in the mean any fundamental body or belief of a person. And if that is true, God, my God, we need to take all spirits and satirists, they call them, and do something with them. Anyway, so this part of the musings, right? And so at one point, they started having a conversation about what the prime minister said about Michael Pintard's not ever having any real job. I almost fall off my chair. I literally almost fall off my chair when I heard the prime minister say. I almost fell off my chair when I heard what the prime minister said. He said, I never said that he didn't have, I never said, because Michael Pintard took what the prime minister said and took it to the next logical point, which was that he said that these people in the orange economy or the artists and them, and they're not doing real jobs. And the prime minister got up to refute that to say, I never said that they aren't real jobs. And in fact, I never said that you didn't have a real job. He said, this is what prime minister said. Prime minister said, I asked, what did you do? That's what I asked, prime minister said. And then he said, the same way some time ago, and I'm going to bring it back here, you asked, what did I do? And you questioned my being a lawyer, and you said I only work for criminals, and blah, 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 blah. So while I was listening to this, I thought two things. Firstly, I thought, anyone, including Michael Pintard, who castigates, who chastises, who seeks to downplay or humiliate a lawyer for doing a lawyer's job, which is to represent clients, some of which are guilty and some of which are not guilty, right? So lawyers don't typically, my understanding is, ask their clients if they're guilty or not. That's not what they do. They do things in a way to provide the best defense. And having a legal defense before the court is a required fundamental part of our judicial system. So if you're going to have representation before the court, having been accused, even if you're accused for the most heinous of crimes, having a lawyer is a part of the judicial system. So I cannot castigate you for being a lawyer because you are an important part of the judicial system. So we should stop that. I didn't say Mr. Pintard did it. I said, this is what the prime minister said Mr. Pintard did. And so I'm saying that whoever does such a thing, that don't make no sense because you need to have lawyers in your country. And even if you are guilty, you could be guilty with situations and circumstances that may allow for more leniency than not. So everybody needs representation, even if you decide to represent yourself. But you know, as the people them say, he who has himself for a lawyer has a fool for a client. So people need representation, they need professional, capable representation. So Prime Minister has been a reputed attorney, representing some high-profile clients. But that's his job. That's what he does, right? And you can have people who, they never go on court to represent any client who might, in quote, be claim guilty of this and that and the next thing, but they represent white collar criminals, business people with all kind of unethical and immoral practices and the law unlawful practice, but nobody ever thinks about them. So that's what it was said, and it ought not to have been said. But then the prime minister said he never said that Michael Pintard didn't have a real job. Yeah, prime minister, you did say that. You did say that. I heard you with my own ears. You said he didn't have a real job. And the implications of what you said was that whatever he did was not a real job. And that is a fact. And therefore,
if what he did is like doing poetry, and if the things he did all around the world, if none of that is a real job, then the implication has to be that anybody who does any of that doesn't have a real job. And that's a fact. That's just simple logic. Right? He also had a job working as a construction worker, working in the in McDonald's and all. And so by implication, none of that is a real job. And because the prime minister says he never had a real job. And I heard him with my own ears. You know, Owen Arthur told me one time in a plane coming back from Canada, heads of government meeting, me, him, Prime Minister Ingram were seated in a airplane, and he was talking to me, and he said, you know, never say anything in public from which you cannot retreat. That's what he said. Never say anything in public from which you cannot retreat. And I understood that. Sometimes the retreat is, I should not have said that. Yeah, I didn't. I didn't mean it to come across that way. I mean, I can now see how it comes across that way, but I didn't mean it to come across that way. But the fact of the matter is, the prime minister, in his attempt to embarrass Michael Pintard, and they continue to try to do that. They try to belittle his what he did to make money, and he made good money doing the things he did. As did many entertainers and writers. Try to embarrass him by that. I made a mistake. And the mistake was, you implied that all the other people who do that same kind of work, and I could think of some very great people who did that kind of work. But Patricia McCullis Clinton, who just passed away, wonderful. Huh? All kinds of folks. Dr. Ian Strawn. Huh? They do other things, but they do those things too. Right? It's just, and so I couldn't catch myself when I said, the Prime Minister really say he didn't say that? Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to take our final break. We'll be back after this.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, everybody, come take my hand.
Are you looking to save for a big purchase or occasion? Do you want your money to start making money for you? Well, let me introduce myself. My name is Bond, the Bahamas Government Savings Bond. I am guaranteed to earn interest on your money with terms ranging from 1 to 6 years. Government Savings Bonds are available to all Bahamians, and for as little as $100, you can start to save for your future. The Bahamas Government Savings Bond, a safe investment guaranteed. Check out the Central Bank of the Bahamas website for details.
Sign up now for the Michael Scudery Peace on the Streets Basketball Classic. This is our 30th year, and we are doing it big. Sign up for 13 and under Tropical Gyro, 16 and under the Myers Group, Sun Oil, 20 and under in the Church Group, We Buy, You Sell, the Design Group in the Open Division, and for the first time, the Jamaica Bahamas Corporate Division. Competition begins July 14th to the 20th at the Hope Center. And then Kendall Isaacs. That's the Michael Scooter Reed Peace on the Streets Basketball Classic, where we shoot hoops instead of guns.
Living paycheck to paycheck, at Fidelity, we can help you take control of your money, build savings, and create a financial future you're proud of. And we'll do it free of charge. Transform your financial future with our coaching sessions today. Make that move. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM.
Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm. Let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. I trust, again, you're doing well. If you want to give us a call in these last moments, you can call us on 323-6232 or 325-4316. You can call us from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. Or you can text us on 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. You know, someone called me to say that there's something that the government is doing that, and I said, well, a surplus means that I'm collecting more money than I will spend. And so I will have excess money. So the government says it'll have excess money to the tune of $75 million. So I told them, well, you should and could expect that if you fit into the $75 million surplus, you should be bid. That's what surplus means. And this is what's going to happen. I could promise you now, whoever's the government, when the next budget is around, whoever's the government. Now, fortunately, I think not fortunately, because some of those union deals that have been signed were union deals signed in arrears for a period long past, and now a new set of negotiations have to happen for a current deal. So whoever is the government, when that happens, hearing about this surplus, boy, people coming for their money. Contractors coming for their money. Vendors coming for their money. Teachers coming for their money. All the people who say, listen, you owe me money on this land, that property, this thing, and the next thing, they come and looking for their money. Plus, what surplus means? You got more money than you could spend. That's what a surplus means. $75 million worth of it. So you could expect the people are going to come and look for some money. That's for sure. I always think that it's better to be sober. I know how politics works. So that politics, especially when you're going into election, you want to put on a good face, a good front, and you want to be able to say to people, you know, we did this, we did that, we did the next thing, and all those wonderful, great things, because you want people to go support you. I understand that. But I happen to think that sometimes we, and I don't mean the Davis administration alone, we are so short-sighted in actions that we become deficient in our navigation and execution of the world. So short-sighted, right? The medium and long-term suffers because we are trying to make some short-term gain. And at the end of the day, what happens is people become disenchanted with government altogether. And there becomes a cumulative disaffection from the process. We have a caller. Hi, go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Yeah, good afternoon, Z.
Hey, what's going on?
Yeah, man, that's because you was a praying man. That's why the car decelerated. Yeah, man. That's why, man. You know, God have a guidance on you. But, Chicago, the wind between times, man, that's why you only had no calls. I went off of 3 15-minute sessions and still didn't get on.
Yeah, I don't know, but I took 2 calls today and I got messages for both of them.
Yeah, and but then, yeah, then the phone, I'm going to say you're trying to get it. But this is what I really need to call and ask you. The period, are you talking about politics? No, I think that. The period when the FM swept Freeport, when they went to 5C, that was 2007 to 2012.
No. No, that Ben was that was 97, I think.
Okay. Okay.
You remember 90? You remember 97? All the Family Island seats.
Yeah, I remember. Only Islandson was the only seat. 111 Islandson was the only one. All the Family Island, everything. Yeah. With our living room, bring up. But then my question was to you, because you live in Freeport. I don't live in Freeport. The minister for Freeport. Yeah, and a contribution the other day.
Yeah.
She say that was a waste time in Freeport, and then she tried to break down the staff. That was crocodile tears or what? Or that was genuine tears. Of
no,
her spirit.
I, no,
it was
no,
that
I
bad,
think,
like that.
Think,
tears, she had to break down and tears. She said,
no,
that's
I
a,
think
a
she,
waste
I,
spirit.
I,
a waste fire.
No, I think she was sincere. I have been in such sessions and situations with her where she has gotten emotional that way, and it wasn't really any drama to put on for anybody. I think she does feel very deeply about the place. And I also think, I mean, some people might say...
That time when the F&M won the 5 seat, it was bad Freeport for Freeport. Under the F&M.
Sorry, say again?
That period when they had the 5 seats, when they win all 5 seats, and that's the worst 5 years of her life right there.
Oh, that's what she said?
Yeah, that's what she said.
Like I said, she could, that could be her genuine feelings about things. I mean, the economic realities of Freeport were certainly not something that someone would say that, because the numbers dropped below 7%. People were building up all kind of duplexes, having 2 and 3 jobs and so forth. But many PLPs did not like that situation because it wasn't great for their aspirations as a party either.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah, that's Ingram second time too. Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yes.
I think so. I think, yeah, it could be. You know, Ingram used to say, listen to me, Ingram used to say, your worst days in government are better than your best days in opposition.
Yeah. Yeah, guys, one man is that bad to have to break down crying and all of that. That's why it's that bad.
But she can be an emotional person about things because she knows what she lived and experienced. I always tell people, just because things were good for even a lot of people doesn't mean it was good for you.
Yeah, because that's true. Especially if you're in with that government or so.
Yeah, man. You know, why else would you celebrate after you win? Because you wanted your party to be in.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, all right. Just keep safe, man. Continue to drink plenty of that water. Yeah, all right. Be safe.
Yeah, man. Appreciate it. Okay, we have another call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hey, Chicago.
Hey, what's up?
Well, I was trying to avoid calling you back, right? I did not want to get involved. I don't want no part of what you're
saying. Well, you just call the show and cause trouble and then leave me. So, you know, might as well you be in this night right now.
So vice versa.
Might as well.
So look, you started to say something before your last caller that forced me to call in. Chicago. Right? And no, I have no idea about that information, just for the record, relating to the loan or the proposed loan to a private company from the government of the Bahamas. That wouldn't even make sense to my mind, Chicago, if that happens, right? I would be highly concerned about that kind of thing happening. In addition, highly concerned. But I'm not.
You ain't never ever no such thing kind of thing happening ever before. Eh?
No, sir. And you said it's in relation to a village road development company.
Yeah.
This was the paving, I'm assuming, that was done on village road.
My understanding is this may have been related to a housing development.
Oh, housing? No.
Yeah.
I don't believe that's accurate. No, I don't believe that's accurate.
But that wasn't really my question. No, my question was more, why would you not have answered that right?
Was the Minister of Finance present?
That's my question.
Was the Minister of Finance present?
Yeah. I mean, even if he wasn't present, it's been days now. You know how many things get pushed out of the Office of Prime Minister?
Okay. Well, I don't know. I can't speak to why, but I would be surprised that that level of accusation was made, or a question, that weightiness of a question was made,
mm-hmm.
and the Minister
mm-hmm.
of Finance didn't seek to address that right away, you know,
yeah.
to cause for there to be factual information to be in the public domain, rather than for a kind of inferences to come about. And for
that was my main point. Yeah.
Right. But you, what you said that caused me to call in, you spoke about disenchantment, right?
Mm.
You spoke about, how what was said about the opposition leader and its response, right?
Mm.
Its fall-off response could lead to not just disenchantment, but a great deal of disenchantment. As a matter of fact, if I'm being honest, there were many things that were said that I was too happy to the good Lord that no one in the media or the opposition picked up on to carry it as a part of a conversation, because there were just a series of other things that were said, right? And I'd leave that right there. But this one was caught. This one was caught, right? And knowing the Prime Minister the way I know him, I certainly don't think that the Prime Minister in and of himself would have come out with that kind of a communication, especially knowing his own background, right, Chivago? Knowing his own upbringing, knowing the fight and the toil and the struggle that he came out of, right? And so, to my mind, some speechwriter put that in there. Prime Minister read that on the stage, and he had to own it because the words came out of his mouth at the end of the day. But that certainly doesn't strike me as something that's within character for the Prime Minister, which is what led to my disappointment when I heard that statement being uttered, and I saw it on the news, you know, being
he never disassociated himself from that. This wasn't something that was written for the Prime Minister, you know. I heard the Prime Minister say these with my own ears.
You mean, right.
So
you mean,
this is
at the meeting you're talking about.
Yeah. I heard him say my own ears what he said. So, and he hasn't disassociated himself from it. He's merely now that he didn't say that about all orange economy people.
In the intent that it was taken.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He said it in just as a means of the opposition leader accounting, but I don't think it was a wise move nonetheless. Like I said, I think it was something that was placed in the Prime Minister's speech, and because he read it naturally, he had to own up to it.
Responsibility for it,
right?
Yeah,
which goes to show the danger when you get into the political spirit in a political realm at a political meeting. You still have to be mindful and careful of the things that you utter, because you don't only hold the position of the leader of the party, as the Prime Minister knows, but you hold the position of the leader of the country,
which
is well aware of. And so, you know, I chimed in with this part to say that I would hope that those speech writers who would have, in particular, put those kinds of salacious language in the Prime Minister's communication would be more responsible in the future in recognizing that he's the guardian of the entire country. And it would strike down any good thing that he sought to do during his tenure in this particular dispensation.
Yeah, gotta go, Anton. I appreciate you calling. Thanks a lot, man. Listen, this text, let me read this. It says, I believe in 97 election, there was one Family Island seat the FNM didn't win, was Finland's seat in South Anders. You're right. It was so Linden resigned, and then there was a by election for his seat. So you're right. Yeah, thank you much for that. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us today. Sorry I didn't read all your notes, but who knows, tomorrow. God bless you. Have a great evening.